On a Friday, it is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We are a state that knows how to make water fun. But in this pandemic era, water parks are having to reinvent how they deliver their fun family attractions that draw tourists from all over. The Department of Health Services has guidelines for water parks. Here's one line of it. It's difficult to maintain physical distancing in pools, splash pads, and water parks. Do you go to a water park in the summer? What's your favorite one? What are your plans now? Do you work in the Dells? How has tourism been affected? We're at 800-642-1234. Romy Snyder is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. Romy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you, Kate.
Mark Whitfield is here, general manager of Noah's Ark, located in the Dells. It bills itself as the largest water park in the country. Mark, welcome to you. Mark, can you hear us? I think we're having some difficulty hearing Mark right now. Romy, what is it like to see the Dells so quiet this spring? How has it been?
Well, we definitely had a different look to spring this year. Since the stay-at-home order was lifted, we've definitely been working to put plans together with our businesses to basically find a new way of creating the experience for guests this summer.
So how has that experience been? Because last month you were saying, you know, individual businesses needed to come up with their own plans on, you know, what precautions to take, how they would reopen and when. How has that individual structure been going?
I think it's been going really well. Our businesses have taken the responsibility of following CDC guidelines and also working very closely with our county health departments to basically look at how each of their individual businesses run and what they need to do to ensure that they keep their visitors and their staff safe. So it's really resulted in changes to capacity in some cases, increased sanitation procedures, hand sanitizer pretty much everywhere. And they've been working to make sure, as I said, that the experience is safe for both the visitors and their employees. So it does look a little different, but they are doing a great job.
Well, Mark Whitfield, welcome to you. And Noah's Ark has been open 6 days now, much later than usual. What factors did you look at as you decided when to reopen and how?
Well, as Romy said, we looked at what the CDC and Sauk County Health Department guidelines were. We consulted with health officials, and then we developed a plan of enhanced sanitation procedures, hand sanitizers around the park, and policies to make sure that all of our employees and all of our guests can feel very safe coming to the park.
So what is it like in terms of screening your guests as they come in, and how do you protect your employees?
Well, what we're doing is we're taking everyone's temperature before they come into the park, and we're requiring everyone to have a face covering on during that process, and it protects our employees and all of the guests coming into the park. Every morning and during the day when an employee checks into the park, that we take their temperatures as well.
And in terms of wearing masks inside the park, is that required?
Masks are required where appropriate. Obviously, you can't wear a mask when you're on the water rides, on the water slides, traveling to and from all the water slides. But we do ask that someone wear any face covering if they're in an enclosed building where you can't social distance. That would be maybe inside the queue line of a restaurant or inside a restroom. But out in the park, when you're walking from ride to ride, no face covering is required when you're on the rides.
We're talking about our state's water parks and theme parks and precautions amid the pandemic. We have Mark Whitfield, who is general manager of Noah's Ark in the Dells. Romy Snyder is here, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. And are you taking a trip to a water park this summer? What precautions are you taking? How are you putting together this trip? What is your itinerary and how has it changed since past years? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email your questions to ideas@WPR.org. Romy, does the Visitor and Convention Bureau have any idea of how many people are vacationing in the Dells this summer or how your numbers are looking compared to other past summers?
That's always a difficult number to get. Sometimes we wish we had a gate so that we could accurately count. We are definitely seeing changes. Normally in June, we would be running a promotion with radio stations. We were unable to do that this year. So we have seen some shifts, but for the most part, we feel that the desire to get out and to take a trip is still pretty strong. I guess we were somewhat surprised, and in a good way, because we weren't sure what the desire on guests would be to get out. So it's really all across the board. As soon as the stay-at-home order was lifted, we definitely saw our telephone and our emails here at the Visitor and Convention Bureau increase with requests for when certain businesses would be opening in the Dells area, what changes to operations they would be making. So we feel that there is somewhat of a pent-up demand from visitors. We also know that Wisconsin Dells has enjoyed for many years a very loyal following and fan base. We've been in the tourism business for decades, and so one of the trends that we're seeing nationwide is that guests will be willing to venture out to destinations that they feel familiar with, that they feel comfortable with. And so I think we are enjoying a bit of that trend as well here.
So what is the most frequently asked question you get in the Bureau when you're getting all these calls coming in?
Well, initially it was what businesses are opening, and because businesses had different opening schedules from the end of May through now, it was really staying on top of what businesses were doing, and our businesses did a great job of keeping us informed as to what their different policies would be and their changes in operations. We're getting to the point where any business that is scheduled to open for the summer 2020 is close to opening. I think we maybe have one or two that we are still waiting for. But so that was the top question, you know, what businesses are opening? And then we're recommending that individual guests check with the business directly. The businesses are, it's a very fluid process at this point. Putting plans together for how to open, and then once they were able to open, seeing how those plans worked, tweaking them along the way. So I think that in general was one of the most popular questions.
Romy Snyder with us, heads up the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. We also have Mark Whitfield from Noah's Ark. Shout out to Mount Olympus Water Park in the Dells, Timber Ridge in Lake Geneva, Chaos Water Park in Eau Claire, all open. Have you been to a water park this year? How was it different from previous years? What advice do you have for families planning a trip? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back for more Wisconsin Weekend in a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're learning how water parks are adjusting to the COVID-19 pandemic and the precautions in place at big theme parks. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Noah's Ark typically hires 650 seasonal workers in the summer, including 200 lifeguards. The pandemic slowed recruitment efforts earlier this spring. Do you live in the Dells? What is it like to see your area quiet in May? Are you hoping for tourists to return, or are you concerned that tourism will cause infections to rise? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Mark Whitfield, General Manager of Noah's Ark Water Park in the Dells, and Romy Snyder here, CEO of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. Mark, Noah's Ark has been open for a week, as we discussed. What's attendance been like?
Well, as you said, we opened on Saturday for the season, the first day of summer, 2020. And guests are enjoying the park. We have a phased opening. So we opened about eight to nine rides our first couple of days. And the next couple of days, we're opening up several more rides. By this weekend, we should have a little bit more than a half of our rides open. And as you know, Noah's Ark Water Park has two of almost everything, kind of like animals two by two coming onto the ark. Most of our slides have two sides, so at least one side of each slide on the most of them will be open.
And why did you why did you approach this as a phased reopening?
Well, we wanted to make sure that all of our employees and all of our guests felt safe. We also are continuing the hiring of lifeguards to work at the park. As you know, we recruit worldwide, we recruit nationwide, and we recruit from all over the region. So with all the parks and all the restaurants and all of the hotels in the Dells, almost all open, we're all vying for employment. And it's a great, great place to work in the Dells. If you're a teenager, if you're a retired person, if you're out of work and you're looking for a job, this is a great, great place to work during the summer.
How behind are you on hiring?
Well, I would say that we have some positions to fill in all areas of lifeguards, food and beverage, housekeepers for the hotel resorts. We are working with local staffing agencies. The Visitor and Convention Bureau has a wonderful website for hiring that lists all the positions open in the Dells.
Do you find that it's more difficult to hire amid the pandemic?
Well, actually, it's been easier to hire for Americans who live in the region, because obviously there's a little bit of unemployment in the area, and we are hiring more Americans than we've hired in the last 15 years.
You also, in the past, have hired seasonal workers from immigrant workers through the temporary visa program. So, and you also have had college-style dorms for workers. What is your approach now?
Well, as you know, Wisconsin Dells leads the nation in dormitory construction and dormitories available for summer employment, both regional summer employment and international summer employment. Noah's Ark just built a 400-bed college-style dormitory on the edge of our parking lot for all of our employees. And that has really helped us to hire employees, to give someone a place to live. And you know, when all the colleges closed their classes to online classes, most of the college students were asked to leave the dormitories. So they were without housing. So it's a perfect place for those college students in the area who are looking for housing until they can move back into their college dorm.
What type of precautions are you taking in this college-style dorm housing amid the pandemic?
We do the same thing that we do with our employees. We take the person's temperature before they move into the dormitory. They fill out a little medical survey indicating that they haven't had any symptoms or have been around anyone that has any symptoms. We request that the employees wear face coverings while in common areas in the dorms. And it really helps keep them safe and keep them feeling good about where they live and where they work.
We're talking about how water parks have approached reopening during the pandemic with Mark Whitfield from Noah's Ark, Water Park in the Dells. Romy Snyder here as well, President and CEO of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. You can join in with your questions. Are you planning on visiting a theme park this year, but expecting to stay away from some attractions? How will you change your activities or your behavior? What does your itinerary look like this summer? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Romy, in terms of advertising about the Dells, in the past you try to draw people from all over the country and the world. How are you approaching advertising and getting the word out in your ad buys?
Well, we have changed our advertising messaging slightly. The most important thing for us to get out was the fact that Wisconsin Dells is open. As I said, that was the number one question. It was what people needed to know before they could start making plans. So the messaging this year, we've basically, at this point, are in what we call our A market. So it's the entire state of Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and then into the Minneapolis market. And so we have changed the messaging slightly, but really our goal and objective is to show the diversity of attractions that are available in Wisconsin Dells, and that the experience, while a little different, is the same as they have seen in the past.
Romy, how hard has this pandemic hit businesses in the Dells? What kind of numbers are you seeing?
Well, we do an annual economic impact survey, and so the true financial impact for the year or by season, really we won't see for a while. But we obviously know that with the vast majority of businesses shut down for the entire months of April and May, and that's typically when we see a large guest base during spring breaks, so our water park resorts and our attractions that are open in the spring would normally have seen many K through 12 and college spring break guests during that time. And of course, as I said, the vast majority of attractions were closed. Some hotels were open because they were deemed essential, but the water park resorts were not. So, you know, again, time will tell in terms of what the impact was, but there's no question that it will be significant, at least for those 2 months.
Mark, what kind of training and personal protection equipment, PPE, is the park providing workers right now?
We're providing our employees with face coverings. We have some employees that wear face shields and gloves, the ones that are doing the temperature checks. We also supply all of our employees in the food and beverage areas with the sanitation, the enhanced sanitation equipment that they need to keep all the restaurants and restrooms and other areas of the park clean and sanitized. We have the large sprayers where at night we spray the chairs and the handrails and any touch point in the park that guests or employees may be touching during the day. And we sanitize all of the tubes before each guest gets on the tubes. The tubes, as you know, sit in chlorinated water, so that's already an enhanced sanitation procedure. And we do more than that. We're required to make sure that guests feel comfortable that all areas are sanitized throughout the day.
And some parks are closing for one day each week to do deep cleans. Have you thought about that approach?
We have. This past Tuesday and the next couple of Tuesdays, we will be closed to continue the training of new lifeguards and enhanced sanitation procedures. It's been a long, long time since the park has done that this late in the season. We normally would close a couple of days after Memorial Day weekend, after we've already opened, to continue the training of our lifeguards. Every lifeguard undergoes about 30 hours of training before they get on a stand or in a pool.
Are you concerned at all as you see the rise of COVID-19 around the country in more than 24 states, the virus still widely circulating? When would you reevaluate being open?
Well, we're always evaluating what we're doing. And Sauk County has had very, very, very few incidences of the coronavirus. And every business in the Dells has enhanced sanitation procedures. And I think the reason that people are coming is they feel that all businesses are doing their part to make sure that this thing isn't spread in our area. So we'll always follow the guidelines of CDC and Sauk County Health Department. And we have turned in an incredible enhanced sanitation plan to Sauk County Health Department. They came out to the park and reviewed it.
Well,
we're
out of time. Thank you both for joining us. Mark Whitfield, General Manager of Noah's Ark. Romy Snyder, CEO of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. We'll be back to have more discussion after this news update on the Ideas Network. We are getting water park travel tips on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is so much fun to rocket down those water slides and swirl around on lazy rivers. But in this COVID era, everything has to be done with extra planning and care. Will you visit a water or theme park this summer? How are you mapping out your itinerary? Will you stay away from certain attractions or change your activities or behavior in any way? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Robert Quigley is Senior Vice President and Medical Director in the Americas for International SOS and MedAir, advising companies on practices to keep employees and customers safe. Dr. Quigley, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So is it safe for tourists, for people to go to these theme parks right now in the U.S.?
I think it's safe if one goes and one is educated before they arrive. Most of these parks are attended by families, so there's young children, which always makes it a challenge. But I do believe it's safe if the appropriate measures are taken to mitigate against the transmission of COVID. It's not safe if one goes and behaves in such a fashion that one is not practicing some of these fundamental principles you've heard about so regularly over the last few months of mitigation techniques.
So it's safe with a whole bunch of caveats.
There you go. That's a good answer.
What about public pools and water attractions when you're in water? Is it okay to be at these types of places?
Indeed. In the water parks, hence the name, there's all sorts of facilities where one is in the water or around the water or on slides and so forth. The water in and by itself, Kate, doesn't particularly bother me. The virus does not thrive in the water. What can happen, however, is in wading pools and any other kind of pool, one has a tendency to forget about the social distancing concept. So one could easily transmit the virus from one to another if they are within a 2 meter or 6 foot distance of each other. That's the challenge with the water. It's not the water itself as a vector. It's person to person.
Person to person contact. So regardless of whether you're in the water or you're in a line trying to get on a ride, you still have the same type of risk, even though that you're in a pool of water.
That is exactly right.
When you look at the construction of these theme parks or water parks, what areas pose the biggest risk to people?
Well, I think, and we're actively involved in assisting many of our clients in multiple sectors, including scholastic and recreational facilities. And one of the principles that we advise those that are reconstructing or on the verge of reopening their facility, whatever it might be, is that in the first instance, ensure that you have proper signage to remind everybody that we're still in the middle of a pandemic and how important universal precautions are, which means washing your hands all the time. There should be hand sanitizers available every time you turn around. But probably most importantly, there should be signage on the ground. So in this case, in the theme parks, there should be X marks the spots, areas on the ground where when people are queuing up to get on a ride, they know they can stand on these spots because there's a tendency for everybody to not just congregate, but they get close together like sardines, and that's where you can have problems for transmission.
So it's like these visual reminders when you're herding people in specific areas where you know there will be lines, that you have markers on the ground saying where to stand.
Right, and it's a challenge. I'm not going to deny that. You've got young children. There's going to be heat. There's going to be irritability. Many people have what I call pandemic fatigue. But nonetheless, I think that these theme parks have a responsibility in order to do their part, as do the people that attend the theme parks. But they have a responsibility to set up, at the very least, queues that are can be done in such a way that you often see the same formation at airports, where you can have chains and ropes and so forth to keep people apart, and markers on the ground. It's not too difficult to do, but it's sometimes difficult to enforce, and it's sometimes difficult to be compliant. But I think we all have to have a sense of ownership here if we're going to make any effort to contain the spread of this highly transmissible virus.
We have Dr. Robert Quigley with us, medical director for an international travel security services firm. We're getting tips on traveling to water parks and theme parks amid the pandemic. With your questions as well, do you live in a tourist area like the Wisconsin Dells? What is it like in your area? Are you hoping for tourists to return, or are you concerned there might be virus spread when tourists come? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Quigley, you can put all the health rules in place. You can you can train your employees, but what happens? What do you advise your clients when your guests, your customers, don't follow the health rules at your facility?
That's the million-dollar question. We can only do our best, and we can only expect our clients to be compliant, and in turn, their guests and vendors and visitors to be compliant. But clearly, we're dealing with the human species, and the human species tends to behave in unique fashions, particularly when the human species is stressed. So shy of mandating with physical force, there's not a whole lot more you can do besides what we've just mentioned a few moments ago, the constant reminders, the signage, making sure that everybody is educated. Beyond that, in our society, it's difficult to enforce any rules to the extent that you may be implying.
Let's take a call now. Jake is joining us from Madison. Hi, Jake.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question about wondering, particularly since I just heard on the news that the Republicans are now planning on getting rid of the Affordable Care Act in this time, aren't the owners of these businesses a little bit concerned about liability if there should be an outbreak in the dorms, or it would turn out to be a hot spot in later news?
Yeah, Jake, thank you for the call. Dr. Quigley, how does liability and waivers look right now for these businesses?
Jake brings up a really good point, and I'm not a lawyer and I'm not going to pretend to be one. And what does come to mind, however, is the concept of duty of care. What is the duty of care of any organization? And duty of care is nothing more than developing policies and procedures to mitigate against a foreseeable risk. And we know now that COVID-19 is a foreseeable risk. And so if an organization, and in this case a theme park, or it could be a school, it could be any organization, does have a paper trail indicating that they have made measures to the best of their ability, to what is considered reasonable, to mitigate against COVID-19, I think the courts would favor in them. If, on the other hand, the organization has done nothing and somebody gets sick, whether it's a visitor or an employee, there will be the possibility that they'll be legally responsible for that, in my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer.
What kind of PPE, personal protective equipment, would you advise these companies have their staff wear when they're working eight-hour shifts, maybe longer?
Good question, Kate. At the very least, the staff who are constantly interfacing with people and who could potentially be asymptomatic vectors should be wearing masks. And I think that's the very, very fundamental principle that many people forget. A large percentage of people will get infected with this virus and have absolutely zero symptoms, yet they have the ability to spread the virus to others. So the idea of the workers wearing masks serves several purposes, the first one being that they can prevent themselves to some extent from spreading the disease to others, the young children or older people that are with their children trying to get on these rides. But the other thing, Kate, that I think is equally as important with a mask is that it's an optic. In other words, people are seeing that. They're being reminded. It's like the signage we talked about a moment ago. It reminds everybody that we're in the middle of a pandemic and it's not time to let down your guard. And it shows the visitors to the park that the park authorities themselves have taken responsibility and are demonstrating responsible behavior by making their staff wear masks. The idea of them wearing gloves is something we could discuss the pros and cons of that. I'm not a huge fan of the gloves, particularly in these kinds of environments. I'm much more a fan of constant hand washing and the availability of hand sanitizers to allow one to do one's job.
Well, it used to be that it was sunscreen that we would bring along in our bags, copious amounts of sunscreen. But what would you consider now in terms of cleaning supplies we should bring along to these types of amusement parks?
Well, I would have my collection of masks for myself and anybody else I'm coming to the park with, particularly if I was coming with young children. And you'd have extra masks because they can get soiled, they can get wet. I would have gloves, rubber gloves, for the family, and I definitely would have hand sanitizer, as you alluded to, and I would make sure I used all of the above quite liberally.
When you're, at the concession counter, waiting in line and getting food, are there any types of things to be aware of in eating food at these facilities or sitting in, even outside of restaurants?
Well, good question. I would remind everybody that this virus is not just human-to-human transmission, but it can be transmitted from inanimate object to person. And not thinking, we go up, we put our hands on a counter, we open a door, if that concession stand happens to be behind a wall, and we forget that that door could be actually harboring the virus. And so in those circumstances, it would be prudent to consider wearing gloves, but at the very least, be sanitizing your hands just before you do eat. Because remember, there's only five ways the virus gets into your body. It's either through your two eyes, your two nasal passageways, or your mouth. And so if you've got your mouth and nose covered, you've limited the access points for the virus. You don't need your hands up towards your face.
Dr. Robert Quigley, medical director for a travel securities services firm, a shout out to Harbor Village Water Park in Sturgeon Bay, Polynesian Water Park Resort in the Dells, both open. What do you want to know about going to parks? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Health Services has guidelines for water parks as they reopen. Their advisory says it's challenging to maintain necessary physical distancing in communal areas such as poolside seating, concession stands, changing facilities, locker rooms, and bathrooms. Do you go to a water park in the summer? How do you avoid communal areas and keep a distance from crowds? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Dr. Robert Quigley stays with us. Dr. Quigley, we're seeing dozens of states having a rise in new cases over a 14-day trajectory. How should these water parks and theme parks negotiate when they should perhaps reclose, or maybe they open too early?
Those are very challenging questions, and I was thinking about that yesterday, that one thing I'm very happy about is that I'm not a governor having to make these decisions, because they're extremely difficult, because on the one hand you have the scientific data, and then on the other hand you have the economic data, and in this case, the psychological data. So I think if they were to close down these theme parks, everybody's been hunkered down for the last number of months with families, it's going to have a tremendous psychological impact, and one has to weigh out the pros and cons. We have a potentially contagious disease with potential mortalities, and we have an economy that has to thrive, and we've got the mental health of everybody within Wisconsin. So these are very, very challenging decisions, and I wish I knew the right answer, Kate. I don't. I'm hoping, just like everybody else is, that this surge, which quite frankly was likely inevitable, this second wave, if you like, based on the behavior of this virus, I'm hoping that we continue to practice what we've just been discussing, the social distancing, the universal precautions, and we do our very best and take responsibility for our actions to mitigate against transmission. But it's not going to be perfect, and it's just a question of lowering the odds. But we do have to live our lives, and we do have to be respectful of our mental health, which is huge, I think, in this situation.
Let's take another call. Jack is joining us from Caledonia. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, the CDC said that catching the virus from a surface is almost, you know, very, very low percentage. And the, you know, the issue of a second wave, we're getting a lot more positive results because we're testing more people. I mean, you know, you get 16,000 people that get tested and you get 500 that are, you know, tested positive. I mean, that's almost nothing.
Jack, we're short. We're short on time here. Dr. Quigley, are we taking too many precautions? And Jack is pointing out many more people being tested. And what about those surfaces?
Okay, so in reverse order, in fact, I also happen to be an immunologist, and I will tell you that it can be transmitted on surfaces. Some surfaces more common than others. The ones that are porous, less likely, but certainly metal, fiberglass, plastic, and so forth, the virus has been cultured from those surfaces. In the second instance, with regards to the surge, I understand that people are concerned, what does this wave really mean? And yes, there's more people being tested, so one would expect the numbers to go higher. But nonetheless, there are a lot of people that are getting tested, yes, and there are a lot of people still getting the disease. So the disease is here, and it's going to be here for a while until such time as we get herd immunity, which is either going to come from a vaccine or everybody gets infected. Hopefully it'll be the former and not the latter.
We only have a few seconds left. Any tips on what we tell our kids when we try to keep them in check at these amusement parks that have so many distractions?
It would be sarcastic for me to say keep an eye on them, because anyone that has children is constantly watching their children. You can't watch them anymore, and it doesn't take but a second for them to fall underwater or do something they shouldn't do. So just be vigilant as always, but be a good parent and do our best to enjoy the day and get through the day, taking responsibility for our behaviors until such time as we can talk about a healthy environment.
Dr. Quigley, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Kate. Have a good morning.
You too. Dr. Robert Quigley, Senior Vice President and Medical Director in the Americas for International SOS and MedAir. Earlier, we talked with Noah's Ark General Manager Mark Whitfield and Romy Snyder, President of the Wisconsin Dells Visitor and Convention Bureau. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a profile of a Wisconsin musician who's just released a new EP.
Musician Madison Malone got her start at 16, playing in her uncle's bar in Portage for $50 and a slice of pizza. That was followed by gigs at community festivals, and eventually she dove into the Madison music scene while she was a student at University of Wisconsin. Now the singer-songwriter is making moves in Los Angeles. WPR's Sarah Hopeful caught up with Malone to talk about her new EP and the simple love that helped influence it.
It's weird. I always know when I'm going to write a song that I actually like because I feel like I have a headache. I don't have a headache, but I'm annoyed. And I feel like somebody's poking me with a stick and I don't know what's happening. But then a song will come out and I'm like, oh, I was trying to like birth a creation. That's what that was.
Like the feeling you get before you sneeze.
Yes. Yep. That. Exactly.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet down, keep it low. No need to tell them who you are. Wear the mask, they won't know if you love them or him or her. I don't believe that love could be a sin.
Okay, most proud of lyric, Quiet Down. I mean, I guess the chorus is a short chorus, but like, want to show you all of me, give you everything, this is not easy, is me talking about coming out and being pansexual, which just means you love people for people, doesn't matter their gender, you just love humans.
Want to show you
And I'm proud of that because I've known that my whole life, but it wasn't really until I moved to LA where I, one, accepted it within myself, and two, was able to live it, because I feel like everybody in LA doesn't care. Nobody cares. It's like if your hair is purple, it's more interesting. Like, oh, you have a girlfriend? Don't care. Your hair is purple? Wow. Where did you do that? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Tell me about Simple Love.
Oh, Simple Love is my favorite song on the whole EP. The story of this is I saw a tree and I thought it was so beautiful. I took a picture of the tree and I sent it to my girlfriend and I told her I wanted to marry her under that tree. Then I went to take a shower and I'm sitting in that meditative state that we all get into. And all I could hear in my head was, I want to marry you under a tree. That's the line. That thing came up and I thought, oh, hey, hey, that's a song.
I want to marry you under a tree, saying our vows in front of family. Oh, I want to marry you under a tree.
And I got out, turned the water off, like quick dried off, wrote it all down. And I kind of just told the love story that I want. And it's also the love story that I've witnessed with my parents and with certain other people, of just a simple love. Like, life can be crazy, but when you go back at the end of the day, you have that person to go home to. You can lay next to somebody in bed who's a solid human individual.
Oh, it's really a simple love. Oh, it's really a simple love.
And we are getting married.
Yes.
Under a tree.
I want to be buried right next to you, beneath that old tree where we first said I do. I want to be buried right next to you.
That was WPR producer Sarah Hopeful talking with musician Madison Malone. She has a new EP out titled 1 and 2. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your suggestions to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.